Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our midweek Bible message, our scatter group message. And scatter groups are kind of on hold right now for the holiday season. We're looking to start those back up in January. And those that have been part of it, I encourage you to invite others, encourage them to come, and share this message. You know, share the messages that Pastor has been going through as well, and you can, so they can see what's going on. And see the questions and a time of prayer and all of that. And, you know, it'll be really good for us to continue to obviously go through this, because you never know what's going to happen with the government and all of that. So we always want to continue to be able to meet. But it's always good to be able to invite people as well, you know, for fellowship and prayer and so forth. Also, come out for Sunday mornings. Candlelight services this Sunday, so invite people out. Don't forget our coffee ministry, 9:15 to 9:45. Peppermint mocha is the flavor of the month, and the ladies are doing a great job of just helping with this ministry, serving people, and more people are filling up the tables and talking with each other, and it's starting to become part of our morning routine, and that's a good thing. You know, anytime fellowship is part of a routine, people getting out and getting to talk to each other, that's a very good thing. This evening we're going to be in Luke chapter 1 and Matthew as well, and we're going to go over the fear nots in the Christmas story. And there are four fear nots in the Christmas story, and I enjoyed the study. I pray that you go through it, read it, expound upon it in the story, and just think about it during the week. The devil would have us to be afraid, and the world tries to encourage fear, because it's a way that it's a controlling factor. But God would not have us to live in fear. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, we're going to look at the very first one here. He says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Fear not, Zacharias." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come and open up your word. Pray for families, Lord. Pray that they can just enjoy the season, Lord, and also take this opportunity to invite people, encourage people. And Lord, we just thank you that, you know, you came down and in the form of a child, Lord, and you did it so that we could be free from sin. And Heavenly Father, Lord, just we thank you so much for that. And Lord, just help us to share that. Just help us to share that. And Lord, help us to live a life of courage and boldness, not one of fear. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "Fear not. Fear not." And God doesn't want us to live in fear. I mean, there's the fear of the Lord, a reverent fear, where we are in awe. But we're talking about a fearful fear, you know, where we are afraid of what might be happening next, or what are we going to do, or how are we going to live, or, you know, those particular things, you know, a fear of the afterlife. God definitely doesn't want us to have a fear of the afterlife. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." We should not have this countenance, this spirit of fear. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit," Holy Spirit, that's what he's talking about right there. "You have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." God does not want his children to live in fear. And he doesn't want anybody to live in fear. But you know, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's a fearful life. We can try to cover it up, but that's a fearful life. God doesn't want you to live a fearful life. He wants you to know that you belong to the family of God, and know that you can live in confidence and courage, knowing that you are a child of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 13, he says here to Zacharias, you know, we see the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." You know, we don't have to fear because we have a faithful Father. We just read in Romans chapter 8 that he didn't give us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but gave us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We don't have to fear because we have a faithful Father. Zacharias, and his wife been faithful to the Lord for several, you know, several years, dozens of years, and we're getting older in age. And, you know, one of the things that they would love to have, or not a thing, but, you know, one of their prayers that they love to see answered would be a child. And, you know, they weren't able to have a child. But here he says, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Sometimes when our prayers aren't answered, or maybe they're not answered right away, the devil would love for us to believe that God simply isn't hearing us. And if God isn't hearing us, then obviously he's not faithful in being the father that he claimed that he is going to be. God does hear us. And I want you to know that. I want you to believe that. We need to know that God does hear us. Not only does God hear us, but God does answer. He does answer. And you've heard, you know, the answers, you know, yes, no, you know, later. And then pastor says something better. I love that. That's a great point. And but God does answer. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Well, the only way that God could give us the desires of our heart is if he knows our heart. And he encourages us to share what's on our mind and our heart with him. You know, he does hear and he does answer. But what I love is that God does pay attention. We don't have to fear because he actually pays attention. He doesn't just say God gives desires. He said God gives the desires of thine heart. Now, we know our heart has to be right. We can't ask amiss, okay? But God does pay attention. I think of this, you know, like if I'm kind of sidetracked with something going on, maybe I'm reading a book or watching a football game or whatever it may be. And one of my kids, they come up and they talk to me and you know, they're talking and I'm kind of acknowledging, you know, that sideways acknowledgement. And then they ask a question and then I answer, okay? And then the next thing I know, they're doing something and I have no idea why they're doing it. And they say, "Well, Dad, it's because you gave us permission to be able to do that." Now, that doesn't have, that has not happened very often. Okay. I need to throw that out there right away. Okay. But I want you to know that God, when we go up to God in our prayers, he's not just, you know, so busy with other things that he sits there and he says, "Okay, yeah. Whatever you say, whatever you need, go ahead. No. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. Because he's a God who's actually paying attention to what we say. The desires of our heart. Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 12, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." God doesn't want his children to have a bunch of sick hearts. And he knows what brings about a sick heart. He's the one who wrote the proverb there. "But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." We don't have anything to fear because we have a faithful father who would have our hearts to be encouraged. You know, desire cometh. I mean, think about it. When desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Zacharias, you don't have anything to fear because your prayers have been answered. Desire cometh. What a tree of life that ended up being for Zacharias and his wife and the family as well. The family as well. And so we don't have anything to fear. Also, Luke chapter 1, verse 30, Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Here's the second fear not. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Now, if you know the Christmas story, you know that Mary was told that she was going to have a child. And she was like, how's this possible? And the angel says unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." You know, we do not have to fear because we have a faithful father. We do not have to fear because we can find favor, or we can obtain favor, if you will, with God. I like the word "find favor." Not like that we're looking for it, but all of a sudden we realize that we're in the presence of it. It's there. And that is a good thing. We have the ability, if you will, to find God's favor. Now I want to say something here. I'm not talking about finding salvation, okay? We don't work for salvation. We don't earn our salvation. You know, God offers salvation as a gift, and we have the ability, the free will, to be able to accept salvation or reject it. Same way with God's love. We don't earn God's love. We don't find God's love. God's love is there. God is love. And for God so loved the world. All right. He first, you know, we love him because he first loved us. So we're not talking about love. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about favor. The word favor means a kind regard or a countenance. Okay. A friendly disposition. Like when you walk into a room, you automatically, you know, sometimes you can know whether or not that person favors you being there or favors your actions. You know, there's a kindly disposition, or sometimes we can know that they're not happy with us. Okay. And my kids can walk into a room and they can see, you know, a lot of times whether there's a kindly favor or I'm not happy with them, or, you know, there's just nothing going on right now, that type of thing. And it has nothing to do with my love for them, has nothing to do with our relationship. It's just favor. But we need to know that we can find favor. You know, just like Mary here, she found favor. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 5, verse 12, For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Thou will compass him with a shield. I love that. The Lord will bless the righteous with favor. Okay, that will compass him with a shield. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12. He also says in Proverbs 11, verse 27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. You seek good, you're going to procure or obtain favor. If you seek mischief, you're going to find it. You're going to find it. The Bible says in Proverbs 12, verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Okay? So we're not working for our salvation. Okay? We're not working for love. But we can have a life where God has a kindly disposition toward us, or where he's not so, or where he's not very pleased with us. And we can know when God is pleased with us, and we can know when he is not. Okay? And, you know, there's those times in our life where there's conviction because, you know, you're living in sin. You know that God is not happy with you. That's not being in God's favor. But thank the Lord that we can also live a life where we know that we are in God's favor. He is happy with what we're doing. And he encourages us to keep doing that. And so that's what we are talking about. Mary was living a life where she was, you know, in the favor, or she found favor with God, and so the angel said, fear not, thou hast found favor. And, you know, honestly, if we choose to live sinfully and rebel against his word, it really is foolish to believe that we are in his favor at that time. But if we choose to, you know, follow righteousness and to seek good, the Bible clearly says that we shall find favor as well in our life. Why? It goes back to he's a faithful father. He's paying attention. He's paying attention. So fear not, faithful father, fear not. We can find favor. Fear not. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. If you notice, these go in chronological order as well. And so fear not to Zacharias. You had, you know, they were going to have a child, John the Baptist. And then fear not to Mary. You're going to have a child. You're going to have the child Jesus. And then that brings us to Matthew chapter 1, where Joseph, and pastor was preaching on him this past Sunday. I mean, he was really put in an awkward position of whether or not, you know, to keep Mary as a future wife or to put her away privily. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 20, but while he thought on these things, talking about Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is the Holy Ghost. We do not have to fear because we have a faithful father. We do not have to fear because we can find favor. But we do not have to fear because we can always follow God's will. We can always follow God's will. Joseph was a man of God. We know this. Mary was a woman of God. We know this. So we know that they were in God's will, doing what God would have them to do. And part of that was getting married. They were getting married, and now Joseph didn't know what to do because, you know, she was found with child, and Joseph was convinced already. I believe this, you know, that it was God's will for him to marry Mary. Can I follow God's will now? You know, the situation seems very awkward here. Am I able to follow God's will? Even though culture will look down upon me, family will look down upon me, religion. It seems almost impossible to follow God's will and still have a successful, blessed life. But he did. And the angel said, fear not, you can still take Mary as your wife. You can follow God's will. You know, at times it's going to be very awkward, if you will, to follow the Lord's will and whatever he's asking you to do. But understand, we will always have the ability, no matter how weird the world is, to be able to follow his will. We were at the mall this past week, and at the mall, there's a Five Below store, and there was probably 40 people in line all the time with the Five Below store. And I was talking to my class about it, and I was like, you know, they're like, I didn't want to wait in line, you know, so what could I do about it? I was like, well, I could just pull the fire alarm and everybody will, you know, leave, and I'll make the cashier stay, and you know, and then I'll be first in line. So my class laughed about it. Ha ha ha, you pull the fire drill. But then one of my students says, you know, really, if you just want to clear the line, clear the store, just pull your mask down and sneeze. And then the whole store will clear out. I started laughing. I was like, that's so funny. But at the same time, that was so sad, because look how strange the world has turned in the last couple of years. But you know what? No matter how strange the world is, you can still follow God's will. No matter how strange the world is, he still has a will for you to follow. People come up to me and say, you know, Pastor Rob or Mr. Newcomb or whatever it may be. And they say, what do we need to do concerning this? And sometimes I have an answer. Sometimes I have a no idea. I really don't. But I'm not the Lord. When we go to the Lord, he always not just has an idea, but he has a plan. And we can always follow God's will, because he always has one. He always has one. And knowing that God always has a will, always has a plan, we should not fear, but we should be encouraged, because our faithful Father, who we can find favor, has a plan, a will for us to follow, and gives us the strength and the ability to be able to do so. We have that. Also, look at, so that was Matthew chapter 1, in verse 20, Joseph. Now we go back to Luke chapter 2, the very last fear not, and this is the fear not to the shepherds. And verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We know that they were so afraid because an angel just peered out of nowhere. But they were also living in fearful times, underneath Roman oppression, 400 years of silence. And the angel says, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings. We don't have to fear because of the message that God has for us. But also, along those lines, we don't have to fear because we have the freedom to forward that message. To forward that message. You get the, you know, the emails or the messages now, and it gives you the option to forward that. Well, we have that option. Okay? We have that option. We have the freedom to be able to do that. He says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Shepherds, I have some good news for you, but understand, I don't just have good news for you, but I have good news for your family. I have good news for your coworkers. I have good news for the town that you live in. I have good news for the country that you live in. I have good news for the world. All people. All people. And we have the freedom to be able to forward God's message. You know, whether it's freedom like here in America, where I can still make videos and we can have church and we can share the gospel, I can go up to somebody and give them a tract and, you know, I'm not in danger of being in jail. Or whether other people, they live in constant persecution, under constant oppression, where to speak the gospel or to share the gospel risks jail time or even worse. There's still the freedom in both situations because God is not going to take away our ability to be able to forward his message. And there's been plenty of people, thousands of people, that have been witnessed to by a person who was about to die or was underneath extreme persecution, but yet they still witnessed to their persecutor. Because we have that freedom. God's message is never going to be cut short. It's never going to be deleted, if you will. It is never going to go away. It's there for eternity. That's a good reason to not fear, knowing that the message that we have, it's the right message. It's the eternal message. It's the one that is going to last forever and ever. Christians, we're always going to have the ability to be able to share Christ, whether it's with one, our persecutor, or whether it's with thousands. You know, we're always going to be able to share the greatest message that anyone ever told me. I have that same ability to share the greatest message with them as well. These four fear nots. We don't have to fear God because he's a faithful father. We don't have to fear God because we can find favor. We don't have to fear God because we can follow God's will. And we don't have to fear. I think I just said fear God. We should fear God, but in the right way. We don't have to fear faithful father. We don't have to fear because of finding favor. We don't have to fear because we have the ability to follow his will. And we don't have to fear because we will always have a message to be able to share. What I love about all of these, I'm going to wrap it up with this, is that how personal our God is. He said, fear not Zacharias, fear not Mary, fear not Joseph. Now, he didn't name each shepherd, but he did say, fear not, for behold, I bring you. What a personal God we have. He knows me, and he tells me, I don't have to fear. He knows you, and he tells you, you don't have to fear. We serve a wonderful God, and I pray that at this Christmas time, that we will be encouraged by the message of Christ. You know, we don't have to live in fear, but then we can also take that message and encourage somebody else with it as well. Have a good night. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you just, Lord, help us to live a life of encouragement and confidence. And Lord, people are supposed to be able to see us and see hope in us. See hope in us. That honestly, that just means no matter what the situation we are in, we have hope. And people need to see that. The devil wants to take away hope. The world wants to take away hope. Sometimes even our own flesh wants to take away hope. But Lord, help us to always have hope in you. And then it'd be such a testimony to others that they will ask, why do you have that? And then we can share with them Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to not fear. We love you. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful evening and hope to see you Sunday at our candlelight service.